appreciate you, brother. Amen. Well, it's good to be back tonight and good to see these girls, Brother Jimmy and everybody here. And it's always a blessing to hear people's testimonies. You know, I come to my mind, and I'm sure not sounding disagreeable with what Rick said. It's just this thought run through my mind. While he's exactly right in what he said, but this thought run through my mind when he said something a minute ago. He said, from two different backgrounds. And you know, that's really right, but we all have one background. It's lost. Lost, regardless of religiously lost, reprobately lost, we're just lost. And I'm glad for that night that the Lord opened my heart and showed me I was lost and brought me to Him. And I've been trying to talk about the Lord Jesus ever since. He's what makes your life worth living. I'm not just saying that. The day that the Lord saved me, I was so wicked and just beyond words to describe, and I won't go into my past, but I remember the night that the Lord saved me. I got down, and all I knew to say, I didn't run raised in church, and all I'd ever heard somebody say, others had talked about getting saved real easy, how easy they just got up and went and got saved, and that's wonderful. It didn't happen that way with me. I didn't know how to be saved, and I'd cried and prayed and tried and made, I don't have any professions of faith, and none of them was any good. I remember the night that I got saved. I was down praying, and I was in a mess. I was at the very end of my ropes, and all I heard was, I'd heard some preacher say, plead the blood. And I remember saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what that means altogether, but Lord, I plead the blood. And you'd have had to know what was in me, and the wickedness and the meanness and all that was in me. And that's all I could say for about 20 minutes. I was by myself. And all I could say was, Lord, I plead the blood. Lord, I plead the blood. After a few minutes of that, something went to breaking inside my heart. Something went to changing. And I remember the moment that the Lord come in and God saved me. Well, God's good, isn't He? God's good to take old wretched, miserable, messed up lives and save you from sin and put a desire and put a hope and put a love down inside you. For people and for the Lord. What a great thing it is. And I appreciate these girls tonight coming, sharing their testimony. And Brother Jim and I was talking a while ago about some things. I try to arm my mind every time I preach, whether there's one or 500. I try to arm my mind that every person I'm speaking to is a soul that Christ died and shed His blood for individually. And so I appreciate everybody being here tonight. Let's all stand, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I preached on Monday night while you're turning there. I preached on Monday night out of Luke chapter 10 on how to get a person from survival to revival. We talked about that good Samaritan that helped that guy beat half to death. And he is half dead, the Bible said, how to get from survival to revival. And we talked about investing your life in people's lives. You got to get, invest your life involved in their problems and so on. We preached last night out of Romans 9 and 10 on the power of a burden, the power of a heart burden. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We talked about the power of a heart burden. I want you to be patient with me tonight as I pick through this. I preached a little bit of this, but the Lord dealt my heart with it today, and I sat over there in the room and outlined it and took my laptop and printed it up, and I hope it's a help to you tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 14. Paul has talked down through here in verse 1 of chapter 3. He called himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He referred to himself as a prisoner in chapter 3 verse 1. Then in chapter 3 verse 7 and 8, he refers to himself as a preacher. He's a prisoner, but then he's a preacher. And then you go on down, he talks about the mystery of God three times in verse 3 and verse 4. And then in verse 9, he talks about the mystery that's in Christ. And then we look in verse number 14. He said, for this cause, in other words, based upon some of the things that I have just said to you, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Thank God. And to know the love of Christ. That's been my goal in the last few years. I want to know the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. A very familiar verse of Scripture. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Oh, I'd like to read that again. Can I just read that again? What the Word of God says is far more important than what I got to say about what the Word of God says. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Hallelujah. World without end. Amen. Let's bow to pray. Father, I want to thank you again tonight, dear Lord, for letting us gather together. Thank you for the good singing, the good fellowship, the good prayer. Lord, thank you for the good day, God, that you've given. I want to praise you, God, for letting us live another day and enjoy it. God, been no sorrow come in it today, no death we know of, no tremendous sickness, God. We're so grateful and thankful, God, for your watch, care, provisions, and protection on another day. I pray now, Lord, as we gather together again, I ask you, God, to meet with us tonight. Lord, please, I recognize that you frame the worlds by the Word of God. You save souls by the Word of God. You strengthen lives by the Word of God. You uphold all things by the Word of your power. We know the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. And I pray, dear God, tonight that you'd help me, God, for a few minutes to deal with the Word of God. I pray, Father, your Word would be like a lamp, God, to our feet and a light to our path. God, please quicken us tonight. Teach us, guide us, help us, Lord. If somebody's here with a very special need, I pray, God, you'd point them in the right direction tonight and meet that need, dear God. Bless us all together and all the churches meeting around the world. Meet us, I pray, and help us tonight. And we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I usually develop a title, I'm trying to say, to a message out of the text. I don't have no real big flashy title for you tonight. I just want to use these verses and talk to you a minute on hope for a hurting heart. Hope for a hurting heart. Have you ever kind of come to the place in your Christian life where it seemed like you were just at a standstill? Anybody ever been there? Hello out there, anybody ever been there? You knew the truth, but it was having little to no effect on your life. You seemed to be going around in circles and praying and no answer coming and singing with no joy and listening to preaching without it changing you and going to church and leaving the same way that you come. You ever been that way? Well, I know I guess all of us hate to admit that, but I've got there a time or two, and I'll tell you it ain't no fun. It ain't no joy to be in a place like that. Paul talks about it here in chapter 3. He talks about the mystery and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he begins to talk about some things that would help them in their life. I was reading this the other day and in my devotions, and God really looked at several little things here that helped me. I want to share a few of them with you tonight and just take my time and coast out. Maybe time we get to the end, the Lord will help us. I first of all want to note in verse number 14 through 19, Paul's prayer. Notice his prayer. He says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't want to spend a lot of time on a piece or two of this, but just to mention it very quickly, he talks about the position of his prayer. He mentioned how he got down on his knees, a position of homage, a position of humility before God. I believe if you're able, you ought to bow your knees to the God of heaven. It says, in essence, I'm bowing my knee. But I'll say this, it's a whole lot easier to bow your knee to God than it is to bow your heart to God. You can bow your knee pretty easy, but sometimes getting that heart bowed in the same position that the knee's in is another thing. He talks about the position of his prayer. Then he talks about the person that he prays to. He says in verse 14, "I pray unto the by now the knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said that seemingly there's one God and one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus. I'm glad I know who I pray to. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I'm not praying to a statue. I'm not praying to a pole. I'm not praying to a priest. I'm not praying to a pope. I'm not praying to a preacher. I'm praying to the God of heaven. And I'm glad, thank God, that he hears. Amen. Psalm 65:2, the Bible said, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Psalm 55:17, "At evening, at morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Isn't it a blessing tonight to know that the God that sits enshrouded in holy deity hears the voice of one like me and you? I'm glad if you're 10 or you're 100, thank God he can hear the faintest cry for help. He is the Father. He's the relationship. In verse 14, he mentions God as a father. In God, verse 15, he mentions God as having a family. But I want to go to the third truth, what I really want to look at, the position of his prayer and the person that he prays to. But I want to deal with the petitions. What he prays about. Just stay with me. I promise this is not the message. It's leading up to what I really want to say. The petitions in his prayer. Look at verse 16. He said that he would. "I bow my knees. Here's the prayer request. Here's the what I'm asking for. That he would grant you, according to his riches, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." He prays, number one, for our strength. He's asking God. Now, you'll see where this is going in a few minutes. He's asking God. He's saying, "Lord, would you strengthen the people of God?" He talks about the picture of his strength with might, dynamite, power. Then he talks about the place on the inside. Then he talks about the person that will strengthen them, the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad there's strength in the Lord? Have you ever got weak? Have you ever got down? Have you ever got feeble and you got kind of anemic in the things of God? But aren't you glad there's a way? Thank God that God can strengthen you again. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." I'm glad God can strengthen his people. Are you listening at me tonight? Amen. If you've been serving God any amount of time, you know there's times you get draggy and you get weak and you get slow. But I'm glad God can take a sermon. God can take a song. God can take a verse of scripture. God can take a prayer meeting. God can take a saint of God. God can take something small and thank God, like administering a dose of medicine into you, God can strengthen you. Oh my, you let me just say this. I've got a long way to go. You don't have to quit. You don't have to go backwards. You don't have to go back to the world. There's strength in the Lord. Amen. He is my strength, David said, and he has become my song. Oh, I'd like to plug in right there about an hour, but I can't. I'm glad God's our strength. Amen. I remember several years back. I got to hurry here, but I remember several years back, and I don't mean this in any way wrong. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I was called to preach. I'm just an old backwoods country boy, bashful as I can be, and I was called to preach, and everybody on the docket, everybody going to preach, about 12, 14 men that was scheduled to preach, every one of them had a doctor's degree but me. And I was so nervous, Brother Jimmy. I'm telling you what's the fact. I was so nervous. I left the room that morning, and I got about halfway to the church, and I went back to the motel room. And I got down and prayed again. I called my wife, and I said, you better pray for me. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And I got to praying, and the Lord put it in my heart, and I don't mean this, please don't misunderstand it, that they're just like I am. They're just old sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. They know the same God I know. We have the same spirit. I got there and we got to preach it, and some of them doctors got to shouting. Amen to God. I'm telling you, thank God tonight. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to feel down. You don't have to feel depressed. God is our strength. Amen. God is our strength. Paul said that you might be strengthened. Then he says in verse 17 that you might be sensible. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you might be sensible, that you might realize when you don't feel good, Christ is still there. When you don't feel like everything's right, when you're up or down, in or out, on or off, feeling it or not, Christ is still in you. He's never left you, and thank God he never will. Amen to God. Can I get a witness out there? He said that you might be sensible and recognize that when the dark times come and the hard times come, I'm still going somewhere with all this. And when the dark times come and the hard days come and the lonely days come, that you might realize that Christ is still living inside of us. I'm glad, thank God. I remember when I first got saved, and I'd hear some of them quote it, and I'd read it, how God said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. There'd been a few times I couldn't find him, a few times I couldn't see him, a few times I couldn't feel him, a few times I didn't think he was even there. But I'll tell you one thing, I found out this true thing to be true. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll stay faithful to you. He'll help you all the way, thank God, firm unto the end. He will be true to you. Then he talks about not only be strengthened was his request, and be sensible, but he says be stable. He says that you, verse 17, that you've been rooted and grounded in love. He talks about their stability, that you need to be stable. Now listen, this is a prayer. He's praying that they might be strengthened, they might be sensible, that they might be stable, rooted, and grounded. Can't move, won't move away. Every time a new wind of doctrine, every time a new trouble comes, that they don't move away from that, that they stay stable and rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Yes, sir. And then he mentions that they'd be settled in verse number 18. You may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. He said that you might be settled in the fact that Jesus loves you. Oh, I want to tell you something. If there's anything to keep you from moving away from the truth and from the Lord, it's just knowing Jesus loves you. I'm telling you, there's a few times the only thing kept me going was just knowing that Jesus loved me. I heard a preacher say today on a CD, he said that he was preaching in this church and said this young girl, about 16-year-old, little blonde-headed girl, said she come to the altar and she was wicked, been out in sin, her life was messed up, said his wife dealt with her and said, she said, do you know anything about Jesus? She said the little girl said, all I know for sure is that he really, really loves me. That's a whole lot. If you know that he really, really loves you. Boy, I'm glad I found out in these past 30 years that he really, really loves me. It's not a lie. It's not a facade. It's not just something he says. It's not something that people say to you, I love you, and then stab you in the back. I'm glad he really, really loves us. Amen to God. Amen. If you never comprehend. Oh my, I don't mean to get off the subject. I'm really going somewhere else with all this. But you know there's a difference in value and worth of something. You know there's a far difference in the value of something and the worth of something. Amen. Let me just make a couple illustrations of that. I've got a lot of things that are not too valuable, but they're worth a whole lot. I've got a little broken down mama tonight. My mama's just a little old short lady about this tall, and her arthritis has got her fingers all twisted out of shape, and she can't do nothing. She had both knees replaced 2 years ago. She's in a car wreck 3 years ago, and it broke her back, and she walks all bent over, and she holds her back when she walks, and she ain't very valuable to nobody. She couldn't hold down a job nowhere. She couldn't do much of anything. She ain't very valuable. I tell you one thing, she's worth a whole lot. She's my mama. Amen. I tell you, it ain't your value that God saved. God didn't save you for your value. He saved you because you're worth something to him. You're special. You're a peculiar possession unto God. He loves you in a way that you'll never understand. Thank God tonight. May I say it again? I'm glad for the good love of Christ. Amen. Paul talked about the love wherewith he loved us. I'm glad for the great love of God. Amen. I'm getting sidetracked from my subject. I used to, when I first got saved, we had some old ladies in the church. I got in, and every time they'd testify, they'd stand up and they'd say something like this. They'd say, I want to thank the Lord for loving me. I want to thank the Lord for his mercy. I'll go on in a minute. I want to thank the Lord for his grace. And I want to thank the Lord for his mercy. And I want to thank him for his long suffering. I was just got saved and started preaching. I thought, ain't they got something else to say besides that every time they get up? Now I've been saved 32 years. I can't hardly get in the pulpit. I can't hardly open my mouth without saying, I want to thank him for loving me. I want to thank him for being gracious. I want to thank him for being faithful. I want to thank him, praise God, God, for being merciful. That's all I'm bragging about. I ain't got nothing to brag about me, but I got a whole lot, thank God, to brag about in the love of Christ. I'm glad he loves us with an endless, eternal, everlasting, effectual love that reaches beyond the depth of sin and lifts us up and saves us. Thank God for his love. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Hallelujah to God. He said that. I pray that you might be strengthened. You might be sensible. I pray that you might be stable. I pray that you might be settled. But he said then lastly, look at verse number 16 again, or no, it's number 19 it is. He said that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that you might be spirit-filled. Oh, he said, I'm praying these things now. Are you listening? I'm asking God that you might be strengthened, sensible, stable, settled, and spirit-filled. Amen. That's a whole lot to ask. Amen, friend. That's a whole lot to ask. That you might be spirit-filled. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but that you be filled with the Spirit. Amen. He said, I'm praying these things. This is my prayer, Paul said. Now stop a minute. Here's what I really want to just a minute zero in on. After Paul wrote that, now I think I can see this happen. I'm just doing like a lot of preachers trying to make good preaching here, I guess. But I wonder maybe in my mind if he didn't just lay his pencil down right there. And he thought about that. He said, man, I just asked God for a lot of things. I just ask God that all the saints of God might be spirit-filled. I just ask God that all the saints of God might be settled and stable and sensible and strengthened by his might in the inner man by the Spirit of God. And he might have stopped and said, man, I just ask God a great thing in prayer. Have you ever asked God great things in prayer? And I can see him maybe in my mind's eye where he just laid his pencil down and writing that letter to the church at Ephesus, and he just lays his pencil down and thinks about it a minute, and he says, that all the saints might be strengthened. Nobody'd be weak. that all the saints might be, that all the saints might be sensible, that all of them let Christ dwell in their hearts by faith. That all the saints be stable, rooted and grounded and not moving. That all the saints be settled and comprehend the love of Christ. And that all the saints be spirit-filled. I'm going to hear him saying after he sits there a while, that's a great big request. Great big need. But then in a minute, not only are we going to talk about his prayer, then in a minute he picks his pen back up. And I see his persuasion. Look at his persuasion in verse 20. Look at it. Now unto him that is able. Notice his prayer, but notice his persuasion. He says simply this, I've asked a great big thing, but I'm persuaded that God is able to meet what I just asked. That everybody can be strengthened. Everybody can be sensible. Everybody can be stable. Everybody can be settled. Everybody can be spirit-filled. I'm persuaded that God's able. Let that soak in a minute. Are you persuaded of such? May I, for just a few minutes, indulge you with a little bit of play on words. He's persuaded, number one, of the bigness of God. The bigness of God's ability. He's persuaded about God's ability, number one. He's persuaded about God's ability. But he's persuaded about the bigness of God's ability. He says, God's able. Will you stay with me a minute here? He says, God's able. Listen to this word, able. Listen now. He says the word able means having sufficient power or sufficient resources. He says it means to be ample, to have ample skill to accomplish a specific purpose. It means to be capable, fit, or worthy of the task. He said, I thank God has the sufficient resources and the power. I think he's capable. I think he's fit. I think he has the way to meet that specific task that I'm asking him about. May I say hallelujah? Man, maybe do nothing for you, but it stirred my heart up. I'm glad our God's able. A lot of things could be said there. According to Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save. According to Philippians 3:20, he's able to subdue. Amen. According to Jude 24, he's able to secure and keep us from falling. I'm glad God's able. Oh, listen tonight. Don't you go out of here saying, my God can't. I'm telling you, all things are possible unto God. There's nothing impossible to God. He can do all things. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He's able. Yes, sir. But notice another next word he uses there. He said he's able to what? To do. Listen to this definition. It means to perform. To accomplish, to produce and bring into being or into existence. It means to carry out, to bring about, to execute, to bring to a desired end. Amen. He's able, thank God, to do. Amen. God ain't sitting up there with his hands tied. God's able. He has the sufficient power to do, execute, bring into being, to bring into existence. The Greek word means literally to bring something into existence so that after it has been brought into existence, it will have a life of its own. I'm glad what God brings into existence lives. I remember, oh, can I navigate just a second here? Can I preach a minute tonight? I hope y'all ain't in no big hurry. I remember as a young preacher, I'd been preaching about a year, pastoring a little old church. I'd been reading 1 John 5:4. whatsoever things are born of whatsoever things are born of God overcometh the world. This is our faith that overcometh. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I was reading that thing, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I couldn't get a hold of that. It didn't make no sense to me. I thought, whatsoever? If it had said whosoever, I could have got it. But it don't say whosoever. It said whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I thought, whatsoever, and I went on a few weeks, and I'd mail over that, and I never could get a hold of it, whatsoever. Now, don't look down on me. I was just a young Christian. I had never been to church much. I didn't know nothing, still don't know a whole lot. But one day then, about 3-4 weeks down the road, I was driving one day. It was raining. I was driving about 12 miles from the radio station, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, when you go by the radio station, stop and get you a broadcast. Scared me to death. I thought, Lord, I don't know nobody. I can't pay no broadcast. Ain't got no money. I don't know how in the world I'm going to do it. And I drove on. And drove just another little bit. And God spoke my heart a second time. Said, when you go by the radio station, I'm not talking about Jimmy Swaggertism. You know, I'm not talking about that audible voice. I'm talking about the Spirit of God just pressing something in your heart. God said, you go by the radio station, stop and get you a broadcast. I thought it again. That scared me so bad, I slowed down to barely wiggling. I was barely moving. I wasn't going to go by that radio station. I said, Lord, I was praying out loud. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't know how in the world I can ever meet this. God, I know if you tell me to, it'll work. And the Spirit of God spoke back to my heart, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And I got it. If God births it, he'll cause it to overcome. If it's a school for girls, if it's a church, if it's a radio broadcast, if it's born of God, if God births it, he'll suckle it. If God suckles it, he'll nourish it. If God nourishes it, he'll cause it to grow. If God causes it to grow, he'll cause it to mature. Amen. God said, if I birth it, it'll go. That's been 31 years ago. I got to the radio station. I walked in. I said to the lady there, I said, I come to get me a broadcast. She said, I'll put your name on the list. I said, you don't understand. I said, God told me out yonder 12 miles ago to stop and get me a radio broadcast. I want one today. She said, preacher, I'm not supposed to do it, but I'm going to give you one. I've been preaching on the radio for 31 years. I ain't never had to beg, bum, steal, nor borrow. Amen. God has let her overcome. He's able to do and perform what he says he'll do. Thank God. If it breaks the devil, he'll still get her done. Hallelujah. God's able to do. Look at the next word. What's the next word? Exceeding. Look at me now. It means to extend or reach outside the normal. Anybody getting any help? To extend or reach outside the normal. And it really speaks of reaching outside of a boundary that has been preset, and the normal boundary. Go beyond the normal boundary. Well, I'm glad God can go beyond the normal. It means to be greater than or superior to go beyond the set limit, authority, established custom, to overdo, to predominate, surpass, or transcend. God is able to do exceeding. Look at the next word. What is it? Everybody, what is it? Abundantly. That word means great plenty, abounding supply. More than enough. Anybody listening? Somebody said Egypt was the land of not enough. The wilderness was a land of just enough. But Canaan land was a land of more than enough. God's able to do exceeding abundantly. He's more than enough. Then he talks about the word above. And it means to exceed in number, quantity, degree, or to be higher than. I'm trying to exalt my Lord tonight. I'm trying to tell you there's nothing short about our God. I'm telling you there's nothing minuscule, small, insignificant, unable, shortcoming about our God. He's able to do exceed abundantly above. What's the next word? It's your Bible. What's the next word? All. And that means everything. Anything. It means the entire amount, the whole or the totality of a thing. Oh, my. Why do we feel like stepchildren? Why do we feel like we ain't got enough? Amen. Exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. The bigness of God's blessing. But I want to talk to men about the blessedness of God's ability. What is the blessedness of it? Look back at your Bible. Now our God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what? The blessedness of it. Oh, I'm trying to help you tonight. Is that he can do even above what you think. Now look here. Listen, definition of the word think. And this ain't now no Greek concordance. This is out of a Webster's dictionary. It says to what? To form in the mind. Let me stop. Now he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or whatever we can form in our mind. To reflect upon, to center one's thoughts upon, to conceive, imagine, or envision. Whatever you can envision God doing, he said, I'll go beyond that. Amen. Preacher, your faith has helped me. I hope I'm helping you a little tonight. Amen. Hey, whatever you've got in vision, you said to me a while ago, I hope I live long enough to see our school full of girls. Amen. If you can envision it, he can go beyond it. Amen. What a blessing. Yes, sir. I can go, I can do exceeding. Listen to this all put together. Listen to all these words read together. Now to him that's able. Now to him that has sufficient power, resources, ample skill to accomplish a specific purpose, capable, fit, worthy of the task, to perform, accomplish, produce, and bring into being or into existence, to carry out or bring about, to execute, to bring into desired end, to extend, to reach outside the normal, to establish, to overdo, to predominate, to surpass, to transcend, to have great plenty, above supply, more than enough, excel in number, quantity, or degree, be higher than, everything, anything, the entire amount or the whole of whatever you can form in your mind, reflect upon, center your thoughts upon, conceive, imagine, or envision. I say hallelujah to God. I feel like shouting a little bit. I'm telling you, friend, tonight, our God is able. Our God's not limited. Our God has the power. Our God can do it. Hallelujah. Praise God in the Lamb forevermore. He's had a big prayer request. God, would you strengthen him? He's able to go beyond that. God, would you satisfy him and sustain him? And help him to be stable and secure and strong and spirit-filled. Paul said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or I think. Hallelujah. Would somebody worship a little with me? Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I'm not expecting too much. I've envisioned my daddy being saved. I've envisioned my church getting blessed of God. I've revisioned and revival. I've had a vision. I'm not talking about that in its modern day tense, but I've envisioned God doing something and God helping us. I'm telling you, I have a right to believe the Lord for it. Amen. Praise God. I'd just like to stop a minute and take a little of that in. What are you envisioning tonight? What are you thinking about? What would you like to see? What would you like to have done? Who would you like to have saved? What home would you like to have restored? What church would you like to see blessed? What ministry would you like to see thriving? What would you like to see done in your life to change it and make you a better Christian? I'm glad tonight to report to you, He's able. He is able. Not only Paul persuaded in God's ability, but he's persuaded in something else. He's persuaded about our asking God. I don't think I'll ask you to turn for the sake of time to all the verses I meant to, but I think maybe it'd probably be better just to ease on real quickly. But our asking. We talk about our failures in asking. You have not. God didn't say, I'll do what you think. You ask or think. You have not because you ask. Oh, how we ought to ask. I thought about it a while ago when Brother Jimmy said. Brother Jimmy said, I don't mind asking. Have not because you ask not. I told Brother Jimmy a while ago, I got to hurry. I won't get bogged down here, but we built a new building a few years back. And I was praying for $350,000 right off the bat. God sent us, and it didn't happen. And I found out I was praying out of the will of God. And God worked it in their heart to ask. He said, whatsoever things to have you have need of, he said, I'll supply all you need according to riches going in Christ Jesus. We got to praying about the need. When we got to the end, we built the building on the old $40,000 that come in need by need. But you know what, asked God, we didn't say, God, would you send us some money? We said, God, we need 8,400 block. God sent the money. God, we need somebody to lay them. God sent the money. God, we need somebody to put the roof on. 35,000. Some men from over in Charlotte, North Carolina called and said, do you care if we come put that roof on you free of charge? I could tell you story after story after story. We got to pray and I said, we need 300 pieces of sheetrock to sheetrock the walls. There was a company going out of business over in a place that made sheetrock about 12 miles from home. I called them up and I said, you ought to donate 300 pieces of sheetrock for us. Said, you don't care to ask, do you, preacher? I said, God said to. They said, we'll donate 250 pieces and all the drywall mud. Marley Molding makes probably a moldings right there on the walls. Within about 24 miles of our house, I called him and said, y'all ought to donate all the moldings they're building. He said, send your truck up here. I said, we need some subflooring, and God sent us the money. We need some insulation, and God sent us the money. And one thing right after, you have not because you ask not. Have you got a need? Ask. Now see, you're going to die on me right there. Sounds like Pentecostalism, don't it? No, it ain't Pentecostalism, it's Bible. Ask. Ask, yes, no, you have not cause you ask not. You have not cause you ask amiss. May consume it upon your own lust. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. You know, you take them three letters, ask, seek, and knock, and you take the first letter of each one, you know what you got? You're right back to it again. Ask, A-S-K-S. A, seek, S-E-E-K-S, knock, K-N-O-C-K, A-S-K. You're right back to ask, seek, you're right back to ask again. Jesus said to them in John 16:24, he said, hitherto have you asked nothing that your joy might be filled. Ask. Ask. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your heavenly Father give good things to you that ask him? You think God don't want to give to you? We don't have no children. We've raised four or five, and We had a little boy, I love him. He's getting ready to go off to college this year. He's graduating here in just a few more days. And that boy has been like a son to me. I love him. I'm telling you what's the truth. God put that young in my heart. And my wife and I have babysit him since he's six weeks old and kept him a lot of times. And a few years ago, their house burnt down. And he lost some of his. Now, I'm not up for this, so don't misunderstand me. Every once in a while, you got to backslide. Just hear me a minute. I'm not up for all these video games and all that old stuff. But he had just got for Christmas. He was about 10, 11. He had just got for Christmas a big one of them Nintendos or something like that. Mario 24, Nintendo 69 or something like that, whatever it is. I don't know about that stuff. And it all burnt down. I went up and I cleaned his little clothes out and throwed them away. And bought him a bunch of clothes. And he told his mama, he said, I'd like to have my games back. And she said, honey, we can't afford them right now. And he told his mama, he said, Buster will get them for me. He'll get them for me. Mama said, just tell you know Buster will get them for you. He come down and brought him about 2 weeks after Christmas, and we was working on the new building at the time, and it was about zero outside. And he come, and I was still in the bed. They brought him at 5:30 in the morning, and 5:30 in the morning, he got in, he come, and he run, and he got in bed and said, can I lay down with you? And I said, sure, come on, honey. And he laid down in the bed with me. And he began to talk to me. And then big old blue eyes. He put his little elbows up on my chest and he sat there. He said, I sure do love you. He said, you my buddy. You my buddy. I said, I sure do love you too, honey. You my buddy. We talked in a few minutes and he said, my game's all burned up. I said, did he, honey? And he said, yeah, so maybe you'll get them back. He said, they sell them at Kmart. I said, they do. Said, yeah, I said, well, maybe we can go down there in a day or two and get you some. And he looked at me, and I'm not making this up. He looked at me and he said, I sure do love you. He said, if you get up out of bed right now, he said, Kmart opens at 7. He said, you can be down there and get it before you have to go up there and work on a new building. And I'm just honest with you. If it had been $1,000 and I had to borrow money, the way that little young and looked me in the eye, the way his little heart met with my heart, I got out of the bed and I went and got him them games. Almost $300 for all of it. I'm telling you, I got a God. I got a God. I can crawl up in his lap and say, Lord, I sure do love you. So I love you too. I sure do love you too. You got a need today? Well, Lord, I need strengthening. I need to be filled with Spirit. I need to get some stability about me. I need to know the love of Christ. I need to know something about the love of Christ. He said, you got to ask. Have you asked? Have you asked? Have you asked? You say, I don't know what to ask. Then tell him that you don't know what to ask. Ask him to help you ask for the right thing. Ask him. Just talk to him. I'm being honest. I'm just being honest with you. In the years I've been saved, I've learned one thing. I don't confide too much in people. Not that it's wrong. But I have learned in my Christian life that I have a God that there's nothing that I can't talk to him about. The very smallest, most insignificant thing, I can talk to him about it. I can just come to him. I've come to the Lord before and I've said, Lord, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. They've hurt me. My heart's broke. I've come to the Lord and I've said, Lord, I'm angry. I'm mad. Lord, I've got some bitterness in me. You say, I wouldn't talk to God like that. He said to confess it, and if you confess it, he'll cleanse it. And I've learned just talk to him about it. I tell Lord Day, and I've got to hurry on here. I tell Lord Day, I said, Lord, now God, you can help me tonight. Lord, you know that I'm not smart. God, you know I'm not intelligent. And God, you know I'm not well educated. And Lord, you know that. Now, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. You've got to make up for all my inabilities and all of my infirmities and all of my weaknesses and all of my shortcomings. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Some of the best days of my life, and I've got to move to the last truth. Best days of my whole life is when I get alone. I've enjoyed the prophet's chamber this week. It's been so quiet. Just get alone. Just tell him you love him. Just tell him you love him. That same little old boy I was telling you about. We've just got a relationship. He told my wife Sunday I've got gout real bad, and I had gout in my foot so bad I couldn't even get a shoe on Sunday. I didn't even get to church. And he told my wife, I've given him a little money, him and his sister both, like a allowance type deal ever since his little kids, and she gave him the allowance Sunday, and he said, now you tell Buster if he's not for God. He's 17 now. He said, you tell Buster if he's not for God, then 2 months I'm getting out of school. And she said, honey, he ain't for God. He's been saving, and I've been saving for college for him and everything else. He said he's been saving. He said, what you going to get me now, a car? And I said, you go back and tell him his dream is a little too big this time. But he's always been wrapped around my heart. Can you see how God loves you? He was just about this big. He'd come to my study. My church was set right across the road at that time from the house. And he'd call the church and say, can I come over there? And we had a little computer, you know, and he'd say, can I come over and push the buttons? Caught pushing buttons. It's a little bit fun. One day, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but one day he started back home, and it was about time for his mama to come get him. And he started to the house, and he'd been over pushing buttons all evening. And I don't care. You may not understand this, but when he come, I don't care what I was doing. I just dropped it. You know what I mean? You just love him. And I said, you got to go to the house now, honey. I'll go out in the yard, and I'll watch you go across the parking lot and down to the house. He said, won't you go with me? I said, honey, I've got to study now. He said, no, won't you go with me? And I'm telling you, I said, no. So I almost had to push him on. Go on now, go on, go on. And he got about near that back door. And I'm telling you, preacher, if I never get out of this building, he turned around and looked at me, and he said, I'll always be your buddy. And it melted me like a piece of butter. I just took off. Went and played with him. Mama come. Can't you see how God loves you? If you just know the love of Christ. Just would you look at him and say, Lord, would you go with me? I'll always be your buddy. You say, that's not too deep. That's probably deeper than we know. I don't want to go nowhere without him. He talked about his asking. Let me just say this. He talked about the failures in asking, but our faith in asking. We need to have faith. Our fellowship in asking. If my word abide in you and you abide in me, you'll ask what you will and I'll give it. Ask in my name. Ask according to my will. Ask all through the Bible. It's ask. Hannah, ask a son. Solomon, ask wisdom. Ask. You have not because you ask not. Let me look at these last truths. I'm about done. He talked about the persuaded about God's ability. Persuaded about asking. He's persuading about our anointing. The power that worketh in us. God works in us. God does work in us. I wish I had time to preach on that. Look at the last thing and I'm done. He talks about his prayer in verse 14 through 19. His persuasion in verse 20. He talks about his praise in verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He mentions three things. I ain't going to preach on them. Just give it to you. He talks about glorifying God in all the assemblies. Everywhere the church ought to glorify Christ. Glorifying God in all ages. World without end. And glorifying God through one association. By Christ Jesus. God accepts no worship that don't come through Christ. He only accepts the praise that's directed through the bloodshed name and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm done. Look at me just a minute. We'll go to the house. We could preach on those last things for a long time. But look at me, everybody. Does anybody remember what the title of the message was? Hope for a Hurting Heart. He is able. He is able, Brother Rick. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Paul asked some big things, but then he was persuaded God could do it. Amen. Sister, would you come? Let's stand and bow to praise.